Okay, this month's shiur is being sponsored by Naomi and Yitzhak Belazon and family in memory of Shmuel ben Avram Manderazon. The last 4 out of 5 Rosh Hashanahs, including this year, so we've had the phenomenon of Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. So of course, as we're all familiar with the halacha, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, so there is no Tkiyah Shofar. So last year, we spoke about this halacha, but we only spoke about half of the story. I think I gave my word at the end of the shiur, at some point, we'll speak about the end of the story. So I knew, yes, Baruch HaKadosh, I knew that this year is also going to be a Rosh Hashanah Shechalios B'Shabbos. So we'll finish up the end of really last year's shiur. Last year we focused on the opinion of the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi tells us that min haTorah, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you don't blow shofar. The Yerushalmi dashes it from Sukkim and a lot of discussion in the Mefarshim, what exactly the Yerushalmi means. But the Bavli doesn't say that. The Maskar of the Bavli, the conclusion of the Talmud Bavli in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, is that min haTorah, in fact, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you do blow the shofar. Midarais, you do blow shofar. However, midirabbanan, you don't blow shofar. And why is it that you don't blow shofar midirabbanan? So the Gemara tells us the very famous reason on the first of the Mamakamos. The Yom Rabbah, Hakol Chayavim B'Tkiya Shofar. Everyone is obligated in the midst of Tkiya Shofar. The Ein Hakol B'Kiyim B'Tkiya Shofar. And not everybody knows precisely how to blow shofar properly. So we're afraid, G'deir Hashem Yitlena B'Yodah, we're afraid lest the person carry the shofar. V'Yelech Etzel HaBokeh Lomar. And we'll go to an expert to teach him how to blow. And that could potentially lead to a disaster. V'Yavirenu HaBa'amis B'Shus HaRabim. He's going to carry Dalat Amos and Rosh Hashanah, which is an Issa min HaTorah, and says Rabbah, behind the time of the Lulav, behind the time of the Megillah. This happens to be the same reason why the Chachamim said that when the first day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, or any day of Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, we don't shake the Lulav, Shema Yavirena, Dalat Amos, and similarly if Purim falls out on Shabbos as well. For us, the third part of this halach is not really relevant. Yidalat Adar, the way our calendar is set up, can never fall out on Shabbos, but of course in Tezvav, Shushan Purim can. And in fact, that's the reason why, if and when that happens, that they do not read the Megillah, even on an Iyam HaKavas Chama, on Shabbos itself. So these are the three dinim, Shofar, Lulav, and Megillah. The reason being what's called Gzer, the Rabbah, Shem Yav, Rena, Dal, Amis, which is a Rabbah. So I want to discuss a little bit about the ramifications of this Gezerah, and how they relate, not only in terms of Tkiyah Shofar per se, but they're going to touch on some issues concerning Hilchos Shabbos as well. So there is a very basic question that all the Rishonim are concerned with is the lashon of the Gezerah, that the Gemara picks upon the prohibition of Shema Yavirenu Dalat Amos Rishus HaRabim. So in fact, when it comes to the prohibition of carrying on Shabbos, there are really three different Yisurim in HaTorah of carrying. One is what's called Hotzah meaning carrying from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim. Of all vice versa, what's called Hachnosa, carrying from a Rishus HaRabim into a Rishus HaYochid. And then the third is that there is carrying Dalat Amos within a Rishus HaRabim itself. All three are prohibitions min HaTorah. So the Rishonim are bothered, why, how come whenever the Gemara speaks about this, and it's not just in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara is the same phrase in Maseches Tzach, Maseches Sukkah, Shemi Avirena Dal Amos B'Shus HaRabim, how come the Gemara always picks upon the Shemi Avirena Dal Amos B'Shus HaRabim aspect of the prohibition of carrying? Why doesn't the Gemara say, lest the person come and carry out of his house? His house is a Rishus HaYochid, an area that's surrounded by walls, by a lachik mechitz of 10 tefachim tall, is considered to be a Rishus HaYochid. The street presumably is a Rishus HaRabim. So why are we afraid Shema Yavirena Dalat Amos B'Shus HaRabim? Why don't we talk about the first part of the Gezerah? Shema Yotzianu B'Shus HaRabim. That in and of itself should be a problem. How come Chazal always seem to ignore that problem? So comes Tosfos on the second of the Maamar in the second of Rosh Hashanah. It says as follows, Shema Yitlenev Yavirena Dalat Amos. Handelo Nakat Shema Yotzianu B'Shus HaYochid B'Shus HaRabim. Why doesn't the Gemara quote that half of the Gezerah? So Pirish Bekundras the Sukkah quotes Rashi Shita Masechah Sukkah Mishum Delo Psika, because it's not always true. Not every time that you end up carrying outside will that necessarily be an Issa Min HaTorah of carrying on Shabbos. What does that mean? There is Halacha Nuch Shabbos. The Tosfos refers to the Migbio Amanas Vahatzmiyo VeNimloch VeHotzio Patur. There is a Din Nuch Shabbos. The Gemara says in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos that the only time that a person is Chayah for carrying on Shabbos is if you do what's called an Akira and a Hanacha. You have to pick up the object in the Rishus HaYochid and then walk out to the Rishus HaRabim and place it down in the Rishus HaRabim. Not only is there a requirement for Akira and Hanacha in order to be an Issa D'Araisa, but the Akira has to be an Akira Mitchil Lekach. When you picked up the object in your house in the Rishus HaYochid, you had in mind to take it out to the street. What would the halacha be in the following case? Let's say, nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah, nothing to do with the Gezeh of Rabbah. Let's say, I'm a regular person in the house on Shabbos morning, picks up something, he picks up a Kiddush cup, he plans on making Kiddush. He wasn't planning on carrying the Kiddush cup outside. And then all of a sudden, somebody calls him from the outside, and he continues to walk with his Kiddush cup outside. So physically, he did an Akira. He picked up an object in the Rishus HaYachid, and then he puts the Kiddush cup down, or he stops. That's also considered to be like an Akira in the Rishus HaRabim. So at first glance, that's an Issur D'oraisa. You did an Akira at a Hanacha. So the Gemara in Shabbos says that's not true. Since the Akira was not Mitchil L'Kaf, when you did the Akira of the Kiddush cup, you weren't planning on taking it outside. So Memela, that's not considered to be a halachic Akira. And Memela, you're going to be Potter in Hilchos Shabbos. That's the din that appears in Masechah Shabbos. So Rashi in Masechah Sukkah invokes that principle and says, that's why Chazal, in effect, ignored the Gezerah of Shem Yotzi, Mishas HaYachal, Mishas HaRabim, because very often you're not actually to be chayiv for the Hotzos HaShofar. Because if you pick up the shofar al-das to go and bring it outside, in Ochinami, that would be an Issa D'Araisa, Akira Mitzchil L'Kach. But that's not always what happens. Sometimes what happens is, you thought you knew how to blow properly. You thought you were a real kanakas. You picked up the shofar thinking you know how to blow, and then you realize, oh, you give a couple of toots and nothing happens. Then you change your mind and you start walking outside with the shofar. That's not an Akira Mitzchil L'Kach. So says Rashi and Sukkah, therefore you're not going to be chayav. It's not going to be Nisa D'Araisa. Maybe Nisa D'Rabbanan will be, but it's not going to be chayav. Since it's not going to be Nisa D'Araisa, the name of the Chabim aren't going to label the Gezerah, Shemi Yotzi'enu Mishasa Yachav Mishasa Rabbin. That's Rashi Shita. So comes Tosus and says that it's very, very difficult pshat in Rashi. Why? The Kasha. The Gabi Havaras Dalan Amis Nami Lom Chayav Elim Kenik Biwa Manasavir Dalan Amis. That same halacha of Akira Mitchil L'Kach, that same requirement of Akira and Hanacha that appears concerning the malacha of Hotzah, Mishas HaYachal, Mishas HaRabim, presumably applies for Dalal Amos also. So say the same story, that's what Psikulei. If you really tell me that the Chabim weren't concerned with the Isser of Hotzah because it's what Psikulei, because you're not always going to violate the Isser because sometimes you're going to be lacking the Akir Mitchil L'Kach, presumably the Havaras Dalal Amos are also going to be lacking the Akir Mitchil L'Kach. So Tosfos says they don't understand Rashi, to which point Tosfos proceeds to give a more simple teretz, not such a lumbish teretz, as to why you distinguish between the two. It also says that to say that you're going to be choshesh, that you're going to go outside from your house to outside, that's less likely, because you're going to see the door. It's going to remind you. You're going to realize, hey, wait, I can't carry on the street. Masha Enkein, once you're already in the street, you happen to be holding onto the shofar in the street, to walk down Amos in the street is much more likely than to walk actually out of your house into the street and shop. It's a very simple mitzvah teretz that Tosfos gives. So there appears to be a fundamental machlokes between Rashi and Tosfos concerning this halacha of Akira Mitchil L'Kach. Rashi apparently understood that Akira Mitchil L'Kach was only said by Hotzah Mishus HaYachid Mishus HaRabim. It was not said by Havaras Da'at Amos Mishus HaRabim. And that's why, according to Rashi, why the Chachamim always word the Gezeira by saying, Shemi Avirenu Da'at Amos Mishus HaRabim. They specifically did not, would not go there, Shemi Yotzi'enu Mishus HaYachal Mishus HaRabim, because of that condition of Akir Mitchil L'Kach. Whereas Tosfos assumed that Akir Mitchil L'Kach is a condition by both. So either you accept it by both, you deny it by both, and you can't split between the two. What is the Nekudas HaMachlokas? What exactly are they arguing about Rashi and Tosfos? Why is this so critical as affects what the Etzem HaGezerah was? So it appears that the answer to this can be found in the third of the Mamakomos, Gemar Masach HaShabbos Daf Tzadi Vav Amidei. We know there's an absolute principle when it comes to the Shabbos. Everything ultimately revolves around the Mishkan. All the Lamites Malachas are derived from the Mishkan. So the Gemara, in the beginning of Perek HaZorek, where the Sugi comes from, raises the question, where in the Mishkan did they do Hotzah? Where did they carry things in the Mishkan? So the Gemara gives you a whole complicated story how they used to carry the Krushim. They would carry the boards of the Mishkan from the Agolos, from the wagons, which were technically a Rishus HaYachid, because any area that's surrounded by walls of Dalat Tfachim, that's a Rishus HaYachid, onto the street of the Midbar, which was a Rishus HaRabim. So they did Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim. And the Gemara says, and what about Hachnasa? So they carried back from the street onto the wagon. So Hotzah Hachnasa you had in the Mishkan. So comes the Gemara and asks, now the bomb question, where was Havaras Da'at Amos Rishus HaRabim? They weren't schlepping around the boards in the street of the Midbar. Where was it? So the Gemara tries to try to find who was carrying Da'at Amos in the days of the Mishkan. And finally, the Gemara concludes, if you take a look at the third Mar Makamos, Besu Mavra of Amos Rishus Rabin, Noam de Mechayim. How do you know that there's a Chiv of Havaras Da'at Amos? Where does it come from? It was not in the Mishkan, says the Gemara. El Lakol Arba Amos Rishus Rabin, Gemara Gemirila. The Gemara pulls out the phrase Gemara Gemirila, which at least according to many Rishonim means Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Rambam happens to have a unique shot. The Rambam says, whenever the Gemara means Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, it says Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The Gemara knew how to say that phrase. Whenever the Gemara says Gemara Gemirila, means something different. What it means is, there's a Pasuk, there's a Makar, there's a source for it, and we don't remember what it is. That's the Nitziv says shot in the Shita Sarama. But Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi always says, Gemara, Gemila, Hilchasa, Moshe Messina, Elokha Moshe Messina, it's all one and the same. So basically, at least the way probably most of the Rishonim read the Gemara, the ultimate makor for carrying down Amos to Shitarabim is interesting. It's not from the Mishkan. It was not done in the Mishkan. It was not practiced in the Mishkan. The way we know that it's Chayav is Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai. Now this may open up the following possibility. How did Chazal know in the first place that there's a Halacha of Akira Mitchil L'Kach? Where did Chazal know in the beginning of Masechah Shabbos that if I pick up an object without the Kavanah to take it outside, so I'm Potter? So the answer is two magic words. The words Meleches Machsheves. We know that in Hilchos Shabbos, I'm only Chayav Min HaTorah for doing something which is constructive, only something which is well thought out, well planned, and all of that, the entire principle of Meleches Machsheves, stems from the construction of the Mishkan, because it never uses the phrase Meleches Machsheves in Hilchos Shabbos in the Chumash. It only uses that phrase in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel, La'asos L'cho Meleches Machsheves. So the Gemara says we have a tradition that just as the Mishkan was constructed in a well planned out, well thought out, positive approach, so too Hilchos Shabbos has to be the same. Therefore, if you're not aware of what you're doing wrong intention, everything gets mixed up, that's not Meleches Machsheves. That's a limud from Mishkan. Shabbos and Mishkan go hand in hand, just as Mishkan was constructed with the principle of Meleches Machsheves, you're only Chayav and Shabbos or Meleches Machsheves as well. Perhaps one could suggest a phenomenal Chiddush. When do we say that there's a requirement of Meleches Machsheves? That's by the 39 Melechas, which appear in the Mishkan. Chore, Zareya, Kotzer, Ofer, you name it. Hotzah, Mishus, Lushus, because after all that was practiced in the Mishkan. But guess what? Havaras Dalet Amos was not in the Mishkan. The whole mokta for Havaras Dalet Amos is Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. It has nothing to do with Mishkan. So it's quite possible that the requirement, that prerequisite of Meleches Machsheves doesn't apply to Havaras Dalet Amos, Mishus HaRabim. So in effect, there are 39 malachas, which are chayav for, and then there's a quote-unquote 40th malacha, which is Havaras Dalet Amos Mishus HaRabim, which is not bound by the limitations of Mishkan, and therefore it's not bound by the principle of Meleches Machsheves. If it's not bound by Meleches Machsheves, so perhaps the requirement of Akira Mitchil L'Kach doesn't apply to Havaras Dalet Amos Mishus HaRabim. So in a certain sense, Havaras Dalet Amos Mishus HaRabim is more chamor than Hotzah Mishus L'Rishus. So one of the Gedolei Acharonim in Masechet Sukkah, the Kapos Temarim, suggests that that's exactly what Rashi holds. Rashi says this in exact lumdos. That's what Rashi means in Masechet Sukkah, Daf Mem Gimel, that Tosfos in Rosh Hashanah quotes and disagrees with. Rashi held that the reason why Chazal specifically used the phrase Shemi Avirenu Dalet Amos Mishus HaRabim and did not invoke the phrase of Shemi Yotzi Mishus HaYochel Mishus HaRabim was precisely for this reason, that Havaras Dalet Amos Mishus HaRabim is a much more likely occurrence because there's no prerequisite of Akira Mitchil L'Kach, in contrast to Shemi Yotzi'enu Mishusayach L'Shusarabim, which is very likely not going to happen because the requirement of Akira Mitchil L'Kach. And why is there a distinction within the halacha between Akira Mitchil L'Kach concerning Dalet Amos and not concerning Hotzah Mishus L'Shus? Dafka because of this consideration, this Gemara Masechet Shabbos, that ultimately Havaras Dalet Amos Mishus HaRabim is not a real malacha, it's not bound by Mishkan, it's not bound by the limitations of Meleches Machsheves. So we just made Rashi so gevaldik. How come Tosfos didn't realize this lundus? How come Tosfos didn't learn this Kapos Temarim? Tosfos didn't realize the Gemara Masechet Shabbos that says Hilchos Gemirla? How come Tosfos didn't figure out that there is a fundamental distinction? So the answer to Tosfos is as follows. There is a question that all of you shown in Masechet Shabbos and Perek HaZorik are bothered with concerning this Gemara. The Gemara says that ultimately there really is no source in the Torah Shebichsav for the halacha of Maver Dalet Amos Mishus HaRabim. When the Torah says, well, Sasekom Malacha, Malacha means Malachas HaMishkan, Dalet Amos was not in the Mishkan, there was no Havaras Dalet Amos in the Zman of the Mishkan. So how do you know the Achayah Skila for Dalet Amos? Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. There is a Gemara Masechet Becheres that tells us that Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, you cannot be Ma'anish a person for. The halacha is you can't give a person malchus, you can't give a person nisus beis din, you cannot inflict an onesh on somebody for violating something which is pure Torah Shebaaleh. The kach memra halacha, that halacha l'moshe mesinai can be aser, things can be mischadish by halacha l'moshe mesinai, but you can't give a person an onesh, particularly an onesh nisus beis din, for violating something which is not written in the Torah Shebichtav. So all the Rishonim are bothered in the beginning of Perek HaZorek, the Baal Amor, and Chachish Yaran, how could it be that Yechayev Skila, a person carries out Amos Mishus HaRabim, you are Chayev Skila for that? So how could it be if it doesn't say it in the Torah Shebichtav? So come to Rishonim with a phenomenal Chiddush. Come to Rishonim and say that there are really two different types of halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Sometimes you have a situation where the Torah Shebichtav says something, and comes Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and says something else, as mamish a brand new chiddush yesh me'ayin, which doesn't relate to what it says in the Pesukim at all. Okay, that's part of Emes Torah. We accept and finish. But sometimes you have that the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim is not mechadish something yesh me'ayin. It's not a brand new halacha, but rather the Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim was said to say pshat in a pasuk in Chumash. We never in a million years would have figured out this pshat on our own. Comes Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and says, no, this is what the Chumash means. This is the Bira Devarim. This is what the Halacha is. So it's called, rather than a Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim Mechadeshes, it's not being Mechadesh something brand new, rather it's Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim Mifareshes. Come to Rishonim and say as follows. The Chumash says, well, Sasekom Halacha. The Halacha means whatever activity was done in the Mishkan. One of the activities that was done in the Mishkan is Hotzah Mirshus Lashus. What does that mean? In the Mishkan, the Hotzah Mirshus Lashus was Mirshus Ayachim Mirshus Arabim. So, Adkan Persha Bechsav. Malacha means anything in the Mishkan, that's the Taich, that's the definition of Malacha. So, Hotzah Mirshus Lashus is included. Comes to Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and tells us an unbelievable Chiddush. Comes to Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and says, there's a new type of Hotzah Mirshus Lashus. Hotzah Mirshus Lashus that we knew up until now was only Mirshus Ayachid to Mirshus Arabim, or Mirshus Arabim, Mirshus Ayachid, as was practiced in the Mishkan. Comes Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim and tells us that if you take something out of your Baal Ramas, so Baal Ramas Shaladim, Zel Mekleimo, Zel Rishuso, carrying something outside of your Baal Ramas is the halachic equivalent of taking something from your house into the street. It's not a brand new Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, a Yesh Me'ayin, and they're carrying Baal Ramas as a new Issa. There are 39 Halachas plus Havara. No. Havara is Baal Ramas, Mirshus Arabim, is part of Hotzah Mirshus Lashus. It's Hainuach. Without the Hilchos Gemira, we never in a million years would have figured this out, because Lamaisa, they weren't carrying things Daat Amos in the Mishkan. They were only carrying Mirshus Ayach, Mirshus Rab, and vice versa. Comes Allah Moshe Mitzrayim, and I don't want to use the word Mechadish, because that's the wrong word here, but is Mefarish to us, that carrying Chutzli, your Daat Amos, that's also considered to be a violation of what Aveira? Losastika Malacha. Malacha means Hotzah Mirshus Lashus. This is another form of Hotzah Mirshus Lashus. Come to Rishon and Malamor and Chedisharan and Masech HaShabbos and say, you can give a person skila for that. You can't give a person skila for something Yesh Me'ayinim. A Halacha Moshe Mitzrayim that doesn't have its roots in the Chumash, that's out of the question. You can't give skila for that. To give skila for something which it says in the Chumash, you can give. The Tarshim HaPeh is just defining what the Chumash means. That's also considered to be the Chlal Losastika Malacha. If these Rishonim are right, that ultimately Havaras Daat Amos Mirshus Rabim is not a category in and of itself, but it's just an extension, it's just part and parcel of the pre-existing category of Hotzah Mirshus Ayach Mirshus Rabim. So then obviously Tosfos is correct. You cannot be mechalek between the two. You can't say that when it comes to Hotzah Mirshus Ayach Mirshus Rabim, there's a prerequisite of Akira Mitchil Lekach, but for Havaras Daat Amos it doesn't exist, because that's a new chiddush. It's not true. It's one and the same. That the whole shot of Rashi, the Kapos Tamarim, was premised on the assumption that Melechas Machsheves doesn't apply to Havaras Daat Amos, because that's not Mishkan oriented. The answer is that's not true. Tosfos Pashas held, like the Chiddush Aram, like the Baal Amor, that it is Mishkan oriented. I wasn't physically in the Mishkan. It's the same thing. Api Aloch, it's the same thing, because Daat Amos Shalodim Zel Rishusa. So this Machlekes between Rashi and Tosfos, a very innocent, simple Machlekes that appears in the beginning of the fourth parakah of Rosh Hashanah, why did the Chachamim pick on Shema Yavi Reno Daat Amos, and why did they leave out the Shema Yotziyana Mishus Ayach Lishus Arabim? This is not a simple machlekes in terms of Hilchos Tekiyah Shofar. This is a global machlekes. This is a general, most basic machlekes about how to understand the relationship, or lack thereof, between Havaras Daat Amos Mishus Arabim, in contrast, or in comparison to, depending on who you ask, to the Isser of Hotzah Mishus Ayach Lishus Arabim. So whether you hold, like Rashi's interpretation, those interpretations, Lamaisa, the Gemara tells us clearly, Rabbah tells us, Gezeira the Rabbah, that they made a Gezeira lest one comes to carry in a Rishus Arabim. And of course, the Gezeira was up to an Issa D'Araisa. We have a general rule of Ein Gozen Gezeira L'Gezeira, even though there are probably more exceptions to that rule than the rule itself. But there's a general rule, the Halacha is that the Chachamim made Gezeira to protect the Issurim D'Araisa. So if the Chachamim made a Gezeira, you shouldn't carry in, you shouldn't blow shofar, gezeira you may come to carry the shofar, but they were concerned with lest one comes to violate an issa d'araisa. So we have to really ask ourselves, just how realistic is this? That if we shouldn't blow shofar, lest we come to violate an issa d'araisa, the only way one can violate an issa d'araisa of Havaras Daat Amos Rishus Arabim is if the area that you're dealing with happens to be a Rishus Arabim. So what exactly constitutes a Rishus Arabim? So the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, going back to the model of Mishkan, that everything revolves around Mishkan. Because again, Hatzah, Mishas HaYachad, Mishas HaRabim has to be patterned after Mishkan. Well, what is a Mishas HaRabim? So the Gemara gives us a few clues. The Gemara says, in the middle of Masechta Shabbos, one of the conditions that a Mishas HaRabim has to have, it has to be similar to Mishkan in terms of the dimensions, just as the Mishkan, the streets, the areas, the thoroughfares in the Mishkan were 16 amos wide. Gemara makes the whole calculation based on the agolos and the wagons, the whole complicated cheshbon. So too, if you have an area where the thoroughfares are 16 amos wide, that's one condition that has been met. If the area is less than 16 amos wide, then you can't even get to first base. That's not considered to be a Rishus Aram deraisa. There'll be a prohibition of carrying maybe in the Dirabana, but in the Torah, that will not be a Rishus Aram. That's one condition of the Gemara. Then the Gemara speaks about another condition, also Masechta Shabbos. The Mishkan didn't have a ceiling on it. So any area that has a ceiling, that's closed, there's a roof on top of it, so by definition is not a Rishus HaRabim deraisa. So it may be a very, very big area of traffic, but if it's a tunnel, for example, so the Lincoln Tunnel is not a Rishus HaRabim deraisa. Not because perhaps it's not big enough, maybe it is 16 amos wide, but since it has a roof on it, by definition it's not dumya to Mishkan. So the Gemara already clues us in that Mishkan is critical in terms of determining what's considered to be a Rishus HaRabim deraisa. So come to Rishonim and have a very basic, fundamental machlokes about another condition that, believe it or not, the Gemara never mentions. Namely, the mystical, magical number called 600,000 people. Now, of course, we know there were 600,000 people in the area of the Midbar, and what's called the Diglei Midbar, outside when they were constructing the Mishkan, at least 600,000. There were many, many more, 600,000 men between the ages of 20 and 60. Come a group of Rishonim and say, since we're learning everything out from Mishkan, so just as the Mishkan, the area in the Midbar had 600,000 people, minimum 600,000 people, it's not possible to have a Rishus HaRabim deraisa with less than 600,000 people. And other Rishonim say, Lahoyu Dvar Me'olam, we cannot make up our own drushes. The Chacham never made that equation. So there has to be a certain point where you say it doesn't have to be similar to Mishkan. Let's see, would anybody say the only chayiv to carry on Shabbos if it's in the desert? The only chayiv if it's above 95 degrees? The only chayiv if it's outside of Eretz Yisrael? It's ridiculous. Obviously, there comes a point where the comparison to Mishkan falls by the wayside. Well, does it extend to 600,000 people or not? The Gemara never said. Half the Rishonim says yes, half the Rishonim say no. So it comes to Shulchan Aruch next to the Mar Mekavos, and Arachayim is in Shimem Hei, Siv Zayim. Eidu Rishus HaRabim, Rechovos Ushvakim HaRechovim Tezayin Amo, Ve'einam Mekurim, they're 16 amos wide, and they don't have ceilings, Ve'einam Chomer, that's another condition, it doesn't have a wall around it. And the Shulchan Aruch goes into some details about affiliation Chomer, Ve'einam Fulash, and Mishar L'Shar. We'll leave that out, that's in terms of how the streets are made, are the streets straight, are the streets curved. Hav Rishus HaRabim, Ve'eish Olam, says the Shulchan Aruch, Shekol She'ein Shishim Riba, Obrim Bo, B'chol Yom, Einam Rishus HaRabim. That any area that doesn't have 600,000 people, Shulchan Aruch added in a word that half the Rishonim didn't even have, that's open by b'chol yom, you need 600,000 people daily, highly questionable, it's not called the Rishus HaRabim. So the Shulchan Aruch presents both opinions. The first opinion clearly denied that requirement, and the second opinion said, no, it's an absolute requirement. Even within those Rishonim who insist that you need 600,000 people, there's a further machlokes. Does it mean daily, like the way the Shulchan Aruch presents it? Or does it mean that in theory, once in a while, you have 600,000 people, that's also acceptable to meet the requirement? How do we paskil in halacha when the Shulchan Aruch presents two opinions, yeshom and this, yeshom and that? So the Bir Halacha did a little bit of math for us, and he looked around for how did the Rishonim tally up? So the Bir Halacha had access to 24 Rishonim who discussed the topic, and believe it or not, there's a principal in Bezin, and Bezin Shuckle, so he ended up with 12 on 12. That was the exact numbers. 12 Rishonim sided with the first day of the Shulchan Aruch, and 12 Rishonim sided with the second day. So comes the Bir Halacha and says, in a certain sense, the Fiyani Azaiti says the Bir Halacha, says the Bala Mishneh Berurah, I'm going to be Machriya Dein HaRishonim. What raya is the Mishneh Berurah going to think of in Radin in the 1800s that the Rishonim had a thought about it? They went through Masechta Shabbos, through Masechta Erevin. The Rashi brought his rayas, and the Rambam brought his rayas, and back and forth, and ultimately there's no real compelling raya one way or the other. Says the Bir Halacha, everyone's looking in the wrong place. The raya is not in Shabbos and not in Erevin. The raya is in Masechta Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, Shema Yavirenu Dal Ramas Bishus HaRabim. The Chachamim did away with Tkiyah Shofar for all generations. We do not blow Shofar today. Shema Yavirenu Dal Ramas Bishus HaRabim. Says the Bir Halacha. Let's be realistic. If you're going to tell me that only an area which has 600,000 people is a Rishus HaRabim deraisa, just tell me how many cities like that existed in the entire history of the world. This is the Bir Halacha talking Rambam in the 1800s. So how many cities are like that? And Yerushalayim at some time, the Gemara says, was the Rishis Aram Gerais? Okay, Yerushalayim. Alexandria. Rome, I don't know, I'm not an expert in the ancient world, but suffice it to say that the odds that there were that many places which were such major metropolises for the Jewish people, 600,000 people, hard to believe. Comes the Be'alach and says, let's put everything into perspective. Chazal are doing away with Tekiah Shofar, a mitzvah d'araisa. They're doing away with Lulav, they're doing away with Megillah. Shema Yavirenu Dal Amos, where? In Athens? Shema Yavirenu in Alexandria? Shema Yavirenu once in a Yoiva, once in 500 years, they're going to get somebody who's going to carry in a Rosh Hashanah d'araisa. Says the Be'alach, it would appear to him that the Gezeirah d'Rabban of Shema Yavirenu Dal Amos, Rosh Hashanah, seems to lead to lend support to those Rishonim who say that a Rosh Hashanah is very realistic as long as it meets the basic criteria that the Gemara describes. 16 Amma wide street, doesn't have a ceiling on it. Says the Bialocha, Cedar Lane, Queen Boulevard, the FDR Drive, regular street, regular normal, a nice sized street, a couple of lanes, so that's 16 Amma, doesn't have a ceiling on top of it. That's the Rosh Hashanah d'araisa, so that would seem to be much more practical understanding of Shemi Avirena Dal Amas Rosh Hashanah. To say that the Chachamim were afraid for the once in a Yovel city, which has 600,000 people, the Bialocha wasn't so convinced it's such a compelling argument. You may be wondering, it doesn't really make all that much of a difference for us, because after all, even if you hold that in a particular area is not a Rosh Hashanah d'araisa, it's still prohibited to carry. The Gemara says a Carmelis is an area that the Chachamim said you're not permitted to carry in, even if it's not a Rosh Hashanah d'araisa. You still can't carry from Rosh Hashanah to a Carmelis, you're still not allowed to carry Dalet Amos in a Carmelis. So what's the difference, halacha, whether we label our cities as Rosh Hashanah d'araisa, or Rosh Hashanah d'Rabbanan? We're not in the business of giving skill these days. We're not bringing korban chatoses anymore. So what's the difference? Tachlis is also anyway. So who cares whether the Be'alach is right? Is it a good raya? Not a good raya? So the answer is we care very much, because the Gemara tells us in the beginning of Maseches Erevin that ultimately everything that we do on Shabbos in terms of carrying hinges upon one question. The Gemara speaks about a principle in terms of Maseches Erevin, what's called Asi Rabim Umavatli Mechitza. The Gemara says sometimes you build a mechitza, you build an area around trying to turn a place into a Rosh Hashanah to permit carrying, what we call colloquially building an Erev. The term Erev really doesn't refer to the wires or the fences. The real correct halachic term Erev refers to the Bach Tamasas. That's when they say the Erev is down, so what they really mean is the wires are down. The Erev were down means that somebody dropped the Bach Tamasas, but whatever, that's in Yiddish, the term Erev has become synonymous with the wires and the fences and the poles, etc. So the Gemara says, it's a strange thing. You build walls around an area, and then people walk right through the walls. What kind of walls is that? You put up a tzuras at Pesach. The whole idea of a mechitza is supposed to block traffic. So somebody walks right through it. Asi rabim v'vatli mechitza. So comes the Gemara and the Rishonim, and the least seem to accept the halacha as follows. That inochinami, that if you have an area that's a rishis harabim d'araisa, you cannot surround the rishis harabim d'araisa with these flimsy mechitzas, what we call tzuras at Pesach, just putting poles and wires and telephone poles and hocus pocus. You need walls. You have to build a wall around the city. You got to lock it up at night. You have to put gates there. To build what we call today an Eruv, what we in effect call a Turas HaPesach form of an Eruv. So the Gemara and the Rishonim explained that only works assuming that it's not a Rosh Hashanah d'araisa. If it's Rosh Hashanah d'rabbanan, then it's okay. Then it's alright. Then the Chum said it's alright. But to be machshir an area that's Rosh Hashanah d'araisa, you need a real makor. You have to lock it up at night. You need walls and gates and doors and everything. A flimsy Turas HaPesach isn't going to work. It comes to Be'alach and says, aha, now we're in trouble. Says the Be'alach, are our Erevin, not just our Erevin in 2003, the Be'alach's town, they were also building Erevin. Hundreds of years in Europe, they've been building Turas HaPesach Erevin. Are the Erevin good enough? Says the Be'alach, the most basic fundamental question is, well, what's the area? Is it Rosh Hashanah d'araisa or not? If it's Rosh Hashanah d'araisa, then forget it. You can't build an Erev with Turas HaPesach, you have to build it with walls. So try to pull that, go to the zoning board to approve that. So comes the Be'alach and says, if it's Rosh Hashanah d'araisa, Turas HaPesach doesn't work. If it's only a Rosh Hashanah d'rabban, if it's only a Carmelis, so then Turas HaPesach is okay. So says the Be'alach, now everything hinges upon these two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch. Everything hinges upon this, Achlokas HaRishonim, what is a Rosh Hashanah d'araisa not? Says the Be'alach, since he was just convinced us that he thinks that the other Svarah is very compelling, that all of our cities are potential Rosh Hashanah d'araisa, and you can't just pull out of the hat and say, well, there are no 600,000 people, then you're home free. Says the Be'alach, since he thinks, again, other Rishonim disagreed with him, but since he thinks that the Gzeir of Shemi Avirena Dal Amas Rosh Hashanah seems to point in the direction that there was a that there's a realistic fear which is surrounding the Raisa Bizmanajah. That's going to spell disaster for Atus at Pesach Erevin. That all the Erevin, which are assuming that you're allowed to build an Erev because it's not a Rishus Ram Derais, because there are 6,000-7,000 people there, that whole clue is going to fall by the wayside. Now, this should not be misconstrued to say that therefore all the Erevin are no good. First of all, it was Machalik Sabishonim. The Halacha was not necessarily the only one who had an opinion about this. But in addition, there may be other ways to somehow transform our areas, our regular cities, into non-Rishus Aram Deraisa. There may be a whole series of other conditions in between the lines that we're not really learning with the Theravin right now, which may be able to be invoked to label our areas as not Rishus Aram Deraisa, thereby not being concerned with the problem of us Ramim Vatlim Mechitzta. So most Erevin that are built today work with one or a variety of those types of approaches to try to knock down our areas to being only a Carmelist. So the first step in building an Erev, you have to always ask yourself that question. If you want to build a Tzuras HaPesach Erev, which all the Erevin are going to be ultimately, because it's just about impossible practically to build without that. So any Erev that we want to build based on the principle of Tzuras HaPesach, you have to ask yourself the following question. Is the area that you're trying to encircle Rishus Ram Derais or not? If it's not, then you're in business. If it is, then you're out of business. So one of the answers to that question used to be, well, the 600,000 people, it's not 600,000 people. So the Baruch Hu didn't like that approach. He thought that's not a valid machlokes, but he didn't think that the Ikim Igradin, one should preferably rely on that. And the compelling reason was, believe it or not, Shemi Avirena Da'ad Amas Tushas Arabim. So you see once again, that this Gezeira, Shemi Avirena Da'ad Amas Tushas Arabim, affects not only Hilchus Kishofer, not only Lulav, not only Megillah, this sheds some very, very serious light on some issues concerning Hilchus Shabbos in general. There is one last issue that the Rishon already began to discuss concerning the Gezeira of Shemi Avirena Da'ad Amas Tushas Arabim. That's in the last of the Marmakomos. A quote from the Ran in Maseches Rosh Hashanah. V'im Tomer, Maishnahani de Gazrinan. How come the Chachamim made a Gazeri? You shouldn't blow shofar, you shouldn't shake a lulav, you shouldn't read the Megillah. Well, Maishnah Mila de Shaya de Shabbos. The baby's born on Shabbos, do a bris the following week on Shabbos. We don't find anywhere that the Chachamim should say, for lo Gazrinan Shem Yavratino, that maybe you're going to come to carry the baby. Oh, Izemel, or maybe you're going to come to carry the knife, Da'ad Amos, Bishas Aravim. The Chachamim should have offered a bris Mila on Shabbos, push it off for Sunday, Gazeri Shem Yavratino. How come they didn't do that? Says the Ran Yishlomer, Tahani Shani, Lafisha Kol Truden Bahem, Vlo Mitka Charachavri. Hashem Ain Kimimila. Says the Ran, it's a psychological reason. Namely, when it comes to Tkiya Shofar, everyone has the same mitzvah. Everyone's pummeling, so I'm busy with Tkiya Shofar, you're busy with Tkiya Shofar, he's busy with Tkiya Shofar. So no one's going to remind each other not to carry on Shabbos. Hashem Ain Kimimila, only the father's the one who's nervous. Only the mother's the one who's nervous. Everybody else around. So if anybody sees the father running outside with the baby to go find the mother, so the relatives will stop them, the friends will stop them and say, what are you doing? It's Shabbos, you're not allowed to carry outside on Shabbos. So the Ram says, Mestam, it's only Be'er Shoshanah and Menlulav and Megillah, which is the mitzvah which everybody has equally. Then and only then do we have to be afraid that no one's gonna step forward to prevent you from doing the Yisamash. And Ken Mila, Mestam, someone's going to prevent you. So the Ram's terrorist is really Metzias here, it's a psychological distinction between the two. Is there anything more to it? Perhaps is there more Salam Dishatarist? So the Taz, and Hilchos Rosh Hashanah suggests the following distinction. Comes the Taz and says, the Chachamim, we know, have a right to make Gezeiras Derabanan. That's true, they do it all the time. Said the Taz, however, even the Chachamim have their limitations. The Chachamim can prohibit something when the Torah doesn't say explicitly you're supposed to do that. Let's say, for example, the Halach is Mir HaTorah, you're allowed to write with your left hand on Shabbos. The Torah, the Yisrael, is only writing with your right hand. The Torah doesn't say explicitly, Vayda B'Shem Moshe Lemo, you're allowed to write with your left hand. The Torah doesn't say one way or the other. So since we have a rule in Halacha, everything's mutter until proven asur. So the Torah never said it. It's also to write with your left hand. It only said, you're allowed to do malachas kedarko. So it's understood your left hand is mutter. So the Chum came along one day and says, you know what? We're going to asur writing with your left hand. Say Bishul Akam. We spent a lot of time last year on Bishul Akam. The Torah never says Bishul Akam is a mutter. The Torah never says anything about it. So of course it's mutter min haTorah. The Chum said, no, you shouldn't need Bishul Akam. Whenever the Torah doesn't take a stand on an issue, so then the Chum are allowed to step in. But if the Torah says explicitly something is mutter, so the Chum cannot get involved. They can't go up, mamash head on against the Rabban Shalom himself. Comes to Taz and says, how do you know that you blow shofar min haTorah and Rosh Hashanah Shechalias B'Shabbos? It doesn't say not to. The Torah says, Yom Tshuva Yelachem. So that means whenever it's Rosh Hashanah, you blow shofar. So it's understood, since the Torah never spells out not on Shabbos, it's understood Shabbos is the same as Sunday through Friday. Since the Torah never says explicitly to do it, the Chum have a right to step in and say, no, we don't think it's a good idea. However, when it comes to a bris milah on, when it comes to bris milah on Shabbos, there's a pasuk that says, "Bayom Hashmini Yimol Basar Alonso." The Gemara on Shabbos says, "Why did the Torah have to write that pasuk?" We know a bris milah is on the eighth day. We know that from Parshas Lech Lecha. The purpose of that pasuk was one purpose and one purpose alone: to tell me, "Bayom Afilu B'Shabbos." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said a bris milah is supposed to be on Shabbos. So the Chacham are going to change what the Rabban Shalom says. The Chacham don't have a right to do that. They have no right to go up against the Rabban Shalom when the Torah says something explicitly as mutar. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah Shechalas B'Shabbos, the Torah doesn't say blow shofar in Shabbos. It says blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. It's understood. You blow shofar in Shabbos also. In contrast to milah, when the Torah says it explicitly, whenever the Torah says it explicitly, the Chacham cannot go against it. This Yisod of the Taz is helpful in terms of giving a little bit of a better understanding in terms of this Gezerah of Shema Yavirenu Da'al Amas B'Shasarabim. There are two basic questions that the Chachamim ask concerning this Gezerah, which really the Taz of Yisod is going to solve both of them. If you remember back 2 years ago, when we learned Masechet Zeitza, so we spoke about a Machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel happens to hold that you're allowed to carry things on Yom Tov. Whatever is L'tzorach, it's mutter to carry on Yom Tov. L'tzorach mitzvah, L'tzorach Hayom. Beis Shammai holds that's not true. According to Beis Shammai, if you carry a shofar on Yom Tov, you're in violation of an Issa Deraita. You're only allowed to carry for food, Ochel Nefesh Yes, and nothing else. Come the Chachamim and ask, according to Beis Shammai, why don't we make the following Gezerah? We should never permit to carry a shofar on Rosh Hashanah, because according to the Shama, it's also in the Torah to carry on Yom Tov. So let's throw the mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar out the window. I'm saying, no, based on the Taz, you can answer that question. The Chachamim cannot take the Torah on head on. The Torah says Yom Tov Yalachem. The Torah says Bosh Shofar Rosh Hashanah. You can't turn around and say, nope, there's only 612 mitzvahs in the Torah. The mitzvah of Tekiah Shofar doesn't exist anymore. Gzeir Hashem Yavirena. The Chachamim could not do that. They can prevent Tekiah Shofar once in a while, every 4 to 5 years, like the bad luck we've had the last couple of years. So we keep on losing Tekiah Shofar year in, year out. But Baruch Hashem, next year we're going to get it. So that the Chachamim have a right to do. To knock Tekiah Shofar partially out of the box, they can do. But to give it a total complete, total knockout, that they have no kach to do, because that would be going up against what it says explicitly in the Chumash. And for this reason, the Echronim explained the answer to another kasha. The Echronim are bothered. Why did the Chachamim have to say, they should have asked the Tekiah Shofar on a regular Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, even according to Beis Hillel. There's a prohibition in the Rabbanan of using any musical instrument, bein the Shabbos, bein the Yom Tov, for afraid lest you come to fix the musical instrument. You're not allowed to play the piano on Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's a Gezerah in the Rabbanan, Shem Yisach and Kleishir. So come the Achron and ask, we should ask for Tekiah Shofar out that Gezerah. Why did the Gemara have to go fishing for Gezerah, Shem Yavirenu Da'al Amos? We should have asked for the Gezerah, Shem Yisach and Kleishir. The answer is the same thing. If that would have been the name of the Gezerah, there would have been no distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. That would have led us to the impossible position of prohibiting Tekiah Shofar on every Rosh Hashanah, which we cannot do, because according to the Taz of Yisod, you can't go up head on against the Chumash. Hashem came the Gezerah Shem Yavirenu Da'al Amos Bishus Ram, the way we paskin, like they say, well, that Gezerah was only set on Shabbos, wasn't set on Yom Tov. That's a feasible position for the Chachamim to be Gozer. That's in fact what they did. So the Gemara tells us there is this prohibition. You don't blow shofar from Hashem Shechalas B'Shabbos. Gezerah Shem Yavirenu. Why does the Gemara pick Yavirenu Da'al Amos? Why not Shem Yotzi? Machlekes Rashi and Tosus. That Machlekes Rashi and Tosus ultimately revolves around the understanding of the relationship between Havara Da'al Amos Mishus Rabin and Otzar Mishus Mishus. Then you have the issue of, does this Gezerah shed any light on the more global question in terms of what constitutes a Rosh Hashanah and the very serious repercussions concerning our Erevin? It's fine to conclude this machlok that's been in effect around the Taz. Why is Mila different than Tekiah Shofar? And the Taz is Yisod, which gives us a little bit of a better understanding as to when this Gezerah applies and when the Gezerah doesn't apply. What about yeah, so most of Shalom assume that's a din min HaTorah, that's the Torah Shabbat. It wasn't really 40. Yeah, din is fun. Look, if the Gemara says, Yom HaShmini tells you to take lulav every day. Yom HaShmini was only written for Bimah HaShabbat, because we already know Yom HaShmini. We already know from that.